I want to give you a little heads up about next week. We do meet next week. I haven't talked to Joni, but I'm hoping we can start with music. That makes her day. Then we'll have a sum-up lecture where I'll put all these lessons together. Ha ha.
7 hours.
I've been looking at it at home. I got as far as the rapture, but that's enough. And then after that, we'll have some sharing. We hope that you learned something, and maybe something was new to you or you didn't know about before. And that's why it's kind of fun to go into eternity today, and I haven't got a clue what those verses are in Revelation, so not a clue. But I'll do some guesswork. And then after that, we'll have some food, if you'll bring it. We'll load up that back table, and we'll please try to bring finger food. It's easier to handle. And this one we really get to eat. It's going to be kind of a zoo. Everybody is going to have to be on their best behavior, moving around. But it worked at Christmas, so it can work again. And that's next week. Well, let's ask the Lord to help us with this lesson. Father, I thank you that we are coming to the end of prophecy. We thank you, Lord, that there's so much. 28% of the Bible is prophecy, and we've only just taken a flyover, so to speak. But we're grateful, Lord, that we don't have to go to fortune tellers or have our palms read or have to read our horoscope every day, because we have your wonderful word that tells us what the future is about. And you have made it very clear you don't want anybody to go to the lake of fire. It was not created for us. It was created for the devil and his angels. So, Lord, help us to be cognizant of that, that there's people around us that so need help, so need pointing in the right direction. Help us to be that light. Help us to love these people to you. And Lord, now as we look at the future, would you please teach us from your word, and we'll simply give you all the praise for what you're going to do and what you have done. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I wish I had a lot of answers. Do you know if heaven's a real place? You've been there?
No.
Oh. Well, we know because we can trust his word. And his word is sure, and you can stand on it, you can claim its promises, and praise God. We also, God has done something to us. He's put eternity in our hearts. And that's what encourages my son in Indonesia, is the fact that he knows God has placed eternity in their hearts. And he's also put justice in our hearts. We just long for a place or a day when justice will reign, when things will be fair, because we sense that things are just not fair. We just have a longing for justice. We have a longing for a better place, a place called heaven. The word heaven appears 700 times in the Bible, but the term refers to three different places. It's like love in Scripture refers to, there's many different kinds of love, and so you have to figure out just what it is that the author is writing. 700 times, and there's three different places, and the first place is the air we breathe. First, heaven, Earth's atmosphere. The second is outer space, and the planets and the galaxies. And then the third heaven is where God dwells. That's according to the scriptures. Now, Paul had quite an experience in that third heaven, and he wrote about it, and he didn't say it was himself, but I truly believe it was. And I believe it was the time that he was stoned to death outside the city until God raised him up again. And I think he had an experience in heaven. It's in, found in 2 Corinthians 12, 2. He says, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know, or whether out of the body I do not know, God knows, such a one was caught up to the third heaven. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows, how he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Now, I just thought about that. Isn't that fascinating? Inexpressible words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one I will boast, yet of myself I will not boast except in my infirmities. And he goes on to talk there in 2 Corinthians 12 about how he was given a thorn in his flesh, a messenger from Satan, because he wouldn't get proud. So remember this when you're anxious to want to know more. I don't know, the more we study, it seems like the more questions I have. I don't know about you, but we can look at Scripture, and the Old Testament believers long for an eternal home. Hebrews 11 speaks of believers such as Abel and Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, all desiring a heavenly home, not simply an earthly dwelling. Most of those fellows anywhere were tent dwellers. Have you ever gone camping? I was thinking about this last night. Oh, about 2 weeks is all I can handle. But can you imagine living in a tent for your whole adult life? I can't imagine. That would be something else. But there is a real place, and God is preparing it for believers. John 14, 3. Actually, 2 through 3, it says, in my Father's house are many mansions, dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Wow, what promises. It's called a city, which has foundations, which builder and maker is God. It's called a heavenly Jerusalem. It's really where a place where the true church will be assembled. It's a heavenly city which comes down out of heaven from our God. Now, when we get into size, I'd always been taught it was four square, and I had trouble with that because if you remember back when we saw, you know, all these spaceships and things in movies, they're always round. So how could God bring something down square? That was very troublesome to me. You got the wrong design, God. Yeah, right. Well, in Revelation 21, 1 through 8, it says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. This is John. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Now, probably some of you were troubled by that. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. And they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away all tears from their eyes. There will be no more death, no more sorrow. No more crying, no more marriage. There will be in a, no, let me say that. But really, what causes most trouble? No, I got a great husband. I have no complaint. It took a while, though. You guys don't see it. There'll be no more pain. Now, how many of us are in pain in here? Won't that be a wonderful thought? No more pain. All these things will have passed away. Well, there's three things that are brought to our attention about the future day. One is our physical surroundings will be new in kind and quality, not simply in time. The prophet Isaiah spoke about this 2,700 years ago, and I thought that would be a good thing to give you. And that's found in Isaiah 65:17. For behold, I create a new heaven and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered or come to mind. So there will be a time when all of this, where it won't be necessary for us to remember it anymore, and God will just take it away. I would like to encourage you. He can do a lot of that here. You ask the Lord for healing in your memories, that, and you've confessed your sins and asked for healing in memories, He will do that. He also says that in Isaiah 66:22, for as the new heavens and the new earth which I will make shall remain from me, says the Lord. And so He has talked about making a new heaven and earth 2,700 years before today. So you can imagine another 1,000 years, how amazing it will be. Then I thought, maybe it'll be flat. My mind has such fun with these verses. Maybe it'll be flat because there'll be no shadows, I don't think. And no night. You might fall off. No. Actually, I think it will be like the Garden of Eden. But I do have a lot of questions when I get to heaven. I know I won't ask any of them because it will be all so obvious. But they'll be new. We'll have a new surrounding. Change will take place. God will change it all. It's even found in 1 Peter 3:10-12. Those are important verses where He will burn up this old earth. And if you have trouble with that fact that there are no more sea, the sea is biblical imagery. Sea is a symbol of fallen humanity. So no sea. Oftentimes they refer to the sea in Scripture as the Gentiles. And so there'd be no potential for evil. Maybe that's all it means. Maybe that flat earth and all the oceans would fall off. God must have such fun with us. Well, our environment's going to be really different. That's the main thing you can come away with. Outside of the river in Jerusalem, there's no body of water mentioned in this eternal state. It seems the presence of the new city will be the main attraction in eternity. When you start looking at it, you really can't even get a handle on that. Look at the character of the city. It's a city that's totally cleaned up. There's no sin, there's no crime, there's no pollution. There's only believers. It's a holy city. Then the contrast here, the New Jerusalem is in Revelation 11:8, is compared to that, is called Sodom and Egypt. Now, why would God ever allow Jerusalem to be called Sodom and Egypt? Because, remember, Satan is going to put, or rather the Antichrist is going to set up his throne in Jerusalem. And of course the people will be into idolatry, so he will be seeking worship. So you can see why he would call it Sodom and Egypt. But that's another struggle. As I say, as we keep unfolding truths here, we say, now what does that mean? But anyway, the coming of the city came out of heaven from God Himself. He designed it. And the comparison of the beauty of the city is he describes it as a bride. Now, some of you have had brides. Or if you can remember that far long ago, you were a bride. But that was such a special day. And, you know, you just wear a very special dress and you really get prepared. And now he's talking about this city as a bride. And I thought, how beautiful. And it'll be inhabited by the bride of Christ. We are beautiful to God. We're His bride. And all believers will share and enjoy the blessings of all the ages, will share the joys and the blessings of living forever in the New Jerusalem. God's presence with us was a reality when Jesus came into the world. He tabernacled among us. And his disciples beheld his glory. But now we have the Holy Spirit within us, and he takes up residency, but we only experience him in part. But one day, it'll be totally different. It'll be a day when we meet him face to face. When I was a new believer, I went on a retreat with Miss Johnson. I only knew one verse. I was just amazing that they asked me to be a leader. But they sang this at the retreat. I won't sing it to you and ruin your day. It says, "Face to face I shall behold him, far beyond the starry sky, face to face in all his glory, I shall see him by and by." And then Fanny Crosby wrote this one, "And I shall see him face to face and tell the story saved by grace. And I shall see him face to face and tell the story saved by grace." Now, why is that so important? She was blind. So the first person she will see will be the Lord. And I sat there and I couldn't get a word out. I thought, I'm going to see the Lord face to face. That just so overwhelmed me. I just cried through the whole song. And then there's another one that's in a Presbyterian song, I think it is. How could I gain an interest in the Savior's blood?
Can it be?
Did I just cry all of that? No wonder I didn't learn the words. Yeah, it's pretty special, some of those songs. Then he who sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said to me, "Write, these words are true and faithful." And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I shall be his God, and he shall be my son." Tremendous promises of God. Why can we believe those? Because they're based on who he is and the fact that he can carry them out. It's based on the accuracy of his word. It's based on the fact that his authority is because he is the Alpha and the Omega. And we have our assurance in that. He gives so many promises. And you need to begin to know those promises. You know, we give out memory work each week to torment you. No, we don't. We give out memory work so the Holy Spirit has something to work with when you have problems. He'll recall verses in your mind. He'll recall the Word of God. If there's nothing in there, he has nothing to recall. Then you're up a creek. So that's why. Start a study yourself. This summer, see how many verses you can put to heart. And God will begin to do wonders. Especially if you have a foggy mind, old like myself, it sure helps to hide the Word of God. It's so special. Well, then John is invited to see the New Jerusalem, and he must have been absolutely overwhelmed by it, stunned by the beauty and the majesty of his heavenly city. The shining of his light came from the most expensive gems imaginable. I mean, I don't even know what a jasper is, but the walls were made of jasper. And everything was clear. It was like pure gold, but you could see through it. Can you imagine? That's what men kill for today. But remember, God himself designed it. He has 12 gates, and there'll be an angel at each gate. And over the gate will be the name of one of the sons of Israel. Were those good guys? Well, no, not really. You can read Genesis. There was only one good guy. And all the rest were scoundrels. Just scoundrels. But what amazing thing it is. Aren't we the same? Didn't we sing this morning? Amazing grace that saved a wretch like me. Oh, that's so true for myself. And then an angel comes with a gold reed and measures the city, and he finds it square on each side, 12,000 furlongs, or 1,500 miles. That would be like going to L.A. about three times. That's how big one side would be. And I always thought it was square, but when I was doing some studying, a lot of people think it's going to be triangle. It was going to be a city four square. We used to sing that song too. But some think it's going to be a triangle. In fact, the thing I gave you a handout says it might be a mountain. That's a little strange. But that's okay. None of us have seen it. So, but look at the stones. The walls are 200 feet thick. They're made of jasper. They're crystal clear. The gate of pearls. Man, what a big oyster that took to make that. And I can't imagine seeing through gold. The foundation stones were made with precious stones. Each stone was 500 miles long. Now, think about quarrying, anything like that. God made it himself, so we'll have to ask him. It's beyond our imagination, isn't it? And then it's going to be the place of worship. He'll be the object of our praise. Then the presence of the Lord will illuminate, or it actually will eliminate, the need for the sun and the moon. And some of you said, oh, that's too bad, no more moon. But Jesus will be the light of the world, because that's what he's claimed to be, the light of the world. There will be nations and kings on the earth, and we pick up in those verses, which I had to go looking for. Next page. Yeah, in the end of 21, it says, and the nations of those that are saved shall walk in the light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory and honor into it. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day, and there shall be no night there. So that presents a lot of other questions. So where are these nations and kings? All we can figure is that they came out of the millennium. Not everybody followed Satan, although it seemed like it when we studied it, didn't it? There was kings and nations left. The nations and the kings on the earth will come into the heavenly city, but they're not the primary residences. That is the bride of Christ. They came out of the tribulation. They're called sheep. Also out of the millennium, because they didn't rebel with Satan. They have access to the heavenly city, because it's there for all. The gates are never closed. And there's no night. So do we sleep? I don't know. I have no idea. So I have to put that question in your lesson just to make you think. Not fair, right? No, it's not fair. But that's the way my mind works. And then in chapter 22, it talks about here on earth, the need to note the purity of the water of that river. But here on earth now, it is the water of life coming to Christ. Believing on Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, salvation is portrayed by the river of life. That's why I gave you those verses of the woman at the well. And she was a very needy woman, as you remember. Well, there's a place from which the river comes, and the source of eternal life is God himself. Rivers of living water. Are we surprised? No. So actually, the questions are getting more and more complicated as we go along, not easier. And I don't know why we have trees, and I don't know why the nations have to be healed. But I know if we were to ask today, does our nation need to be healed? I think we'd all say, yes, it sure does. So maybe there's still a need for it. Then I was thinking, maybe it's symbolic. As a reminder, the leaves are to remind us that the nations needed healing. And I don't know about the fruit. So we'll have to wait and see. I'm sorry. So what are we going to do in this new place? We won't be sitting on clouds and strumming harps. I haven't been able to find that anywhere. I'll tell you one thing, heaven won't be boring. I can't imagine even just seeing that city with jewels on it. You could spend eternity just looking at all those jewels. And I don't know. So I think there'll be constant activity because the Lord has made us. He's made us to be curious. He's made us to enjoy Him. He's made us to do all kinds of things. And I think, but can you imagine just being full of joy all the time? It'll be inexpressible. Well, let's look at that thing I handed out to you. I think this is this comes from Tim LaHaye's book on the New Jerusalem. First of all, there's no more sea, and we've already looked at that. All things have been made new. God the Father will dwell among His people. No longer any death, crying, or pain. All believers will inherit the blessings of the New Jerusalem. The New Jerusalem will have a brilliance like a very costly stone, as clear as jasper. The city was a great and high wall with 12 gates guarded by the angel at each one. Remember, the wall is 200 feet thick. It's really hard to grasp it. I had a teaching leader back in BSF that thought maybe one day we would do interplanetary travel. And maybe that's what this city will do. It'll go among the planets. So maybe it needs to have walls that are 200 feet thick. I don't know. But I like to think about it. I'm sure whatever God has planned for us, it'll be such joy we won't remember anything. Then the name of the 12 tribes of Israel appear on the gates, and then there are three gates on each of the four sides of the city. The wall of the city has 12 foundation stones, and on them are the names of the apostles and the Lamb. The city is a cube measuring 15 by 1,500 miles and 1,500 miles high. And then they say here possibly a mountain. Well, I think a triangle sounds a little better. The wall is made out of jasper. Now, what color is that? I have no clue. The city will be pure gold, like clear glass. The foundation stones of the city wall are made from the following precious stones: jasper, sapphire, chalcedony, emerald, sardonyx, sardius. I don't know any of what these are. Chrysolite, beryl, that one I know, topaz, and so forth. Amethyst, oh, that would be beautiful. The 12 gates are 12 pearls. Each one of the gates is a single pearl. As I say, some oyster is really hurting sometimes. Now the Lord made it. There is no temple in the city. Now, I was thinking about this morning. There's no temple, for the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb are its temple. Now, get a handle on that, can you? Can you picture that? I can't. I just can't put that to words. Are they going to be a structure? No. The nations will walk by the light of God's glory. The kings of the earth will bring their glory into the city. No longer any night, only day. No longer anyone unclean, nor anyone who practices abomination and lying. The river of water of life, clear as crystal, will come from the throne of God and the Lamb in the middle of the city street. On either side of the river will stand the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree will be for healing of the nations. And I just have a feeling those may be symbolic. There'll be no longer any curse. The throne of God and the Lamb shall be the city. Believers are now to see the Father's face, and His name will be on their foreheads. No longer any sun, because the Lord God will illumine the city, and the people will reign forever and ever. What a great and glorious future awaits all believers in Christ. You know, what a God we have. Isn't that amazing? But I'm not surprised, because 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, I have not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. So, Jesus is coming soon. Are you ready? Now, think of the enormous contrast between the final destiny of believers and unbelievers. And so, with that, from verse 6 on of 22, John comes back to the present, and the Lord tells John, Behold, I'm coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. And then he goes on to say, Blessed are those that do his commandments, they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. And then he warns them, but outside are the dogs and the sorcerers and the sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters. In other words, all those that haven't come to Christ, haven't received robes of righteousness, and have just been stubborn right to the very end. And then he goes on to say, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come, and let him who hears say, Come, and let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take of the water freely. And that would be my urgent request to you today. Have you taken of that water freely? Do you know that you've been saved from the wrath to come? Do you know that you have the Lord's robes of righteousness? Do you know where your sins are today? Your sins are either on you or they're on the Lord. And they need to be on the Lord so that you can be his child. So let's commit that to the Lord. Father, I thank you that you have a way out, and that you have a whole new world for us that love you. We can't even grasp what kind of a city this is, because it'll be so beautiful. And you will dwell there, and we'll be able to see you freely, go in and out. And you've planned a whole new world for us, Lord. Something that our imaginations can't even get a handle on. And Lord, I pray if there's any lady here today that only has religion, is not covered by your blood, may they, by the day time the day is out, may they come to you and say, Lord, I know I'm carrying my sins around and they're crippling me, and I come to you and ask that you would forgive me of my sins, and that I praise you that you died for me and that you want to make me your child. So Lord, I just commit myself to you afresh, and I want to start living for you. Lord, I pray that every person in here would indeed start living for you. What a glorious time we'll have in heaven. And we rejoice, Lord, that you've not only given us a way out, but you've planned a wonderful future for each of us. What love is this? We just praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.